And all of God's people said, Amen. You may take your seat and smile at that person next to you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for taking heed to my announcement as we present the Word of God this morning. We do have a beautiful cry room where they can just cry all they want. Nursery available. The presentation of the Word of God is here this morning. Hey, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to make sure you read one verse with me this morning. Just one verse this morning with me. There's a Bible in front of you, behind you, next to you. But if you're all that and more, you probably have it on your phone. Yes? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When you have it, I want you to give me a half smile. Some of you are not giving me a smile at all. Thank you so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you're there? Say amen. Amen. Father, we are so grateful for this day. Actually, we're grateful for every day. Because to us, believers, Christmas is every day. And Valentine's is every day. And our birthdays are every day. And Easter's every day. And we're just blessed to have Jesus in our lives every day. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to tell you a story of a judge that had to make some decisions. He was presiding in court over an older lady that was caught stealing a loaf of bread during the Depression era. So there she was in front of the judge, knowing that she's guilty. So the judge said, the law, I have to make sure that the law is followed. The fine is $10 or 10 days in jail during the Depression era. Well, if she's caught stealing a loaf of bread, there is no way she can pay the fine, the $10, or spend 10 days in jail. So the judge did something that he's not used to doing. He pulled out of his pocket $10 and paid it to the right people. And then he got that big old hammer, hit it on his desk and said to everyone who's in this courtroom, I'm fining you 50 cents for letting a poor family in your city, in your community, steal a loaf of bread during this time. So, wow. Within just a minute or two, that older lady in the courtroom left with $47.50. Now, she just escaped a penalty she legally deserved. And she received an unexpected and undeserved blessing. People who owed her nothing provided her a gift that would immediately make her family and her children better off. So when we hear the word grace, the first thing we think about was the action the judge just took over that court proceeding. Or maybe you have a different way of looking at grace. Maybe you picture grace as something beautiful, something charming, something amazing. But when you and I think of grace in the Christian faith, it does mean something just a little bit different. Reason why? The God that you and I serve is a holy God without sin. Somebody say amen to that. And he requires that you and I would experience some kind of holiness. However, we're all short, we're all sinners, and you and I could never meet that standard. But God is a God of grace, and because God is a God of grace, it changes everything. So if you're here this morning, you have not an idea what that looks like in the Bible term or in the grace definition, I want you to at least leave this morning having an idea what grace, how grace can be defined. Look at it over the board real quick. Grace is a generous character of God. When you understand the character of God, you also understand the nature of God, and you understand the love of God. You understand how God works, how he functions, how he does things. And this morning, I think the greatest gift you and I can ever receive from God is grace. And by the way, if I can just give you a word of encouragement, if you're struggling with your faith, and if you're struggling with decisions and choices in your life, I'm going to ask you to do something very amazing. Go back to grace and stay there. Because grace is easy to receive, but grace is hard to practice. Somebody say practice. And God is saying to all of us this morning, where I have you at is in the place of how to practice grace. So, good definition. Grace is a generous character of God who displays unmerited, undeserved, abundant favor to undeserving people who have come short of experiencing the things of God. So, this morning, you heard in worship, you heard in specials, you've come to the house of God because God Almighty sent his Son, who was without sin, to pay the debt for our sin. So if we can this morning leave, let's leave with just a little bit more of God's blessing in our lives. How are we going to do that? Go back to grace. Stay there. Experience it. Bathe in it. Have God's revelation. From there, you're able to begin to practice what grace is, because grace is powerful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And the other reason is because Jesus died. He rose again. People who deserve penalty for their wrongdoing experience or receive the opposite. And what you and I receive is an amazing forgiveness and an amazing life that never ends. And all of those who accept Jesus for the payment for sin are declared perfect. I want you to hear me this morning. Maybe not in the eyes of people, maybe not in the eyes of the culture, maybe not in the eyes of your family, but in the eyes of God, you are declared perfect and holy, and you enter into what we call a relationship with God. We've been created to have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is why grace is one of those words that explains why we celebrate Easter. And as one of the people who did their song, and you know how we connect, you know, the culture with the Christian faith, and there's no connection at all, because again, for us believers, it's an everyday thing. Somebody say amen. Amen. So listen to the words of the Bible about grace and how you can connect with grace and how you can experience grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you're there? Amen. You're there? Amen? One verse, verse 9. Let's read it together. I will lead you in this reading of God's word. So you know that the gracious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now, get that this morning. Connect that with that this morning, because if you do that, you're going to have a different experience that's important, so that by his poverty, or by his poverty, we became rich. I want you to know this morning, you are the most richest people in the world. Well, Pastor Bobby, I don't have a dollar to my name. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with having an amazing relationship with Almighty God. Can I read that verse one more time together? You know the gracious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you can become or be rich. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9. So the Lord Jesus, God eternal Son, was rich beyond measure. Yet he was willing to leave heaven, set aside his privileges, so that we would have the rightful embrace of the, again, the poverty of humanity. So as a man, he did not embrace the lifestyle of the rich or famous or powerful. What he did is he died a cruel, violent, unjust death in the hands of evil people. And nothing was further from the wealth of heaven than that ugly death on the cross. But yet, this painful death was the very reason why he came from heaven to earth. So by his death, paid the penalty of every human sin that is out there. Can you say amen to that? So that's how we became rich. Through his poverty, through his death, the believers are fully and freely forgiven. We're brought into the family of God. And now you and I can experience all the blessings that God has available, all because we receive this grace as a gift. Now, people outside of the world say, I worked hard for it. I earned it. I deserve that. But with the Christian faith, it has nothing to do with that. Because yes, there are times in life, man, I worked hard. I need a little break. Yeah, I really earned this, whatever that may be. But when it comes down to salvation, when it comes down to eternal life, there is nothing that you can do to earn this, but receive it as a gift. That is why grace is God taking the initial, to solve the problem. Grace means not getting the punishment we truly deserve, instead receiving the opposite. And what did we receive? God's approval, God's acceptance, and God's forgiveness, all through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place and our behalf. God's grace comes in full payment, not partial. That's why the Bible says we've been saved completely by grace. It is a gift of God, so we can't do nothing to earn it. Just because salvation was free, again, it did cost something amazing. It cost the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. Now, let me close. Let's go back to that story for a moment. When that older woman left the judge's courtroom, she left. Her debt has been paid in full. Somebody say amen. Now, I don't think she went in there thinking, wow, this is going to be a really good day. I'm going to be blessed. No, she went in there knowing that things were not right and she was caught. Her debt has been paid in full. The court had no further claim on her. She went home carrying an undeserved, unexpected, small treasure. And I hope this morning that you would receive this grace and leave today with everything taken care of, all is well in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, knowing that God's grace is kind and rich, that God's grace is amazing and powerful in our lives. So every stage of life, with all the challenges, with all the difficulties, God promised is that his grace will be both sufficient and available at all times in Jesus' name. These great scholars all got together and they got these brilliant minds and they are educated and they come from amazing backgrounds and they try to figure out God in one word or Jesus one word, the Bible in one word. And what they figured out that everything about Jesus is grace. Now, if you remember, grace is easy to receive, but it's so hard to practice. Why? Because a person to practice grace has to, at one time in their life, had to experience some kind of struggle, some hurt, some pain, something that caused them some damage in their soul. But grace is so amazing that it brings healing and restoration into the person's life. And if you've been a Christian for a while and you're struggling and you're hurting, you're not sure what to do, let me just tell you right here in the house of God, just go back to grace and stay there. Let him just birth you and clean you and wash you and set you free. So when you come forward with a lifestyle of grace. May grace come back. Well, say, Pastor, I understand grace, but there's got to be balance with grace. There's got to be some kind of accountability with grace. There's got to be some responsibility with grace. There's got to be some structure with grace. You're correct, but you can't have that if you've never been set free in Christ Jesus and made you well so that you can help others be well in Jesus' name. So the message is done. Because God himself took and became a proactive for us so that you and I would not have to try to figure this thing on our own. He took our guilt, he took our shame, he took our brokenness, and in return, I'm going to give you eternal life and I'm going to give you forgiveness. Just to anyone who would just trust him in Jesus' name. So salvation is not earned, but it's freely given. We don't just get in by grace, we live by grace. Father God, this morning I pray that your people would live by grace. That it's already been done, it's already been said, it's already been taken care of. All you need is some amazing people to learn to walk in grace. To learn to walk in accountability, learn how to walk in responsibility, learn how to walk in some structure. This is why the Bible says so clearly to us, Lord, from his abundance we have received one grace blessing after another. There's so much blessing, there's so much more out there. Don't think that you arrive because you never arrive. You just keep getting better and stronger in the things of the Lord. So this Easter is all about an empty cross. It's about an empty grave because they're empty over our lives so that our lives can be full. He isn't there. He is risen from the dead as you see it on the board. He ain't there. He has risen from the dead and now he's alive in every one of our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Would you put your hands together and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for forgiveness as the team comes. Every head bow, every eyes close. I want to say a prayer for you this morning. And as I say this prayer, I really believe that the word is so simple, but truth and powerful. Sometimes we want to make things just a little bit more difficult. See, when you run back to grace, that's where God meets you. That's where things are settled. Because we're a people of faith. God is a God of promise. And as you and I go forward in 2017, we make sure that grace is leading us and guiding us. And we're making our decision based on grace. Just like that woman went to court. She left blessed. She left 10 times better than the way she walked in. My prayer is that you would leave 10 times better than you walked in. Forget the other stuff. Just make sure that God is healing you and fixing you and taking care of you, and you're getting your instructions from grace. You're getting your instructions from forgiveness and love. This journey that you're in is an amazing journey, but you can't go any further until you are able to say, I've experienced the grace of God. And for me to be able to give grace, I had to go through my own stuff to find the place where I have compassion and passion and love for the things of God. So you're in a marathon. You are, if Jesus comes back next week or 100 years from now, you do your job and you instruct those under you, which is the next generation, to do the same thing. This is why this new place, this new level that God has taken you, is because you're allowing Him to. You're giving Almighty God permission to do that amazing work in your life. See, freshness and revival and renewal happens when we go back to Jesus, back to grace, back to His love. You got to fall in love with God, because what you go through in life, you can't go by what you see and feel, because you'll be disappointed real quick. Come running back to grace in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me.